Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Viewers all over the world. What a wonderful time. Time well spent. Hallelujah. I want to believe you have this message on your table. Viewers, by faith, have it. Hallelujah. The message from wise man Christopher. I know your faith is lifted up. What else? Now, God's opinion about us. What next? Let's hear from God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I will leave my message for next meeting. That will be next Sunday or as the Spirit directs. But no matter how little opportunity we have from time to time, we should talk about the challenges ahead. Hallelujah. I can hear you.
Yeah.
The challenges ahead. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
What is happening in my nation is happening everywhere in a different dimension. There could be economic man down, economic crisis, in whichever way. They are foolish things. I say they are foolish things. With God, all things are possible. Let's just advise ourselves. Give me your 2 minutes or 5 minutes as the Spirit directs before we actually go and listen to the testimony. I was telling you in the meeting yesterday that love is the greatest. I say love is the greatest. It's in our logo here, which will soon be out, and you have been having it in the past too. This is it. Can you put it on the screen? Let's see. Let's talk about this from time. Please talk about it. Love is the greatest. This is why I ask you, let love lead. Let love what? Yes, be what's all about the world. Love is greatest. Watch. Let love lead. Hallelujah. Let's quickly go into a passage here that will lead us to Matthew 5:44. But I said to you, love your neighbor, your enemy, bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Spitefully use you and persecute you. Take note of that. I take it again, once again. 44. Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, love your neighbor, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Wow. The challenges we are having, the challenges before us, can be lack to love and hatred. Are you with me? That is, the battle before you can be lack to love and hatred. Since I was born, I read my Bible. I've never seen where hatred overcome love. I have never seen where hatred overcome what? No. When you love, you overcome. Since I was born, I read my Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Bible is my standard. I have never seen where hatred overcome love. When you love, you overcome. Love is the most powerful weapon. Most powerful war. Love does not allow us to kill. Love does not allow us to kill our brothers, our neighbors, our enemy, even our enemy. Love does not allow us to kill them. This is what the Bible says. Remember the word of Jesus. He said, love your enemies. He said, love your enemies. If this is what you are taking home, support with what God is about to do, it's enough. Love does not allow us to kill our brothers, to kill even our enemies, our neighbor. Love does not allow us. Love becomes our protection against the hatred of the adversary. Love becomes what? Love becomes our protection against the hatred of the adversary. Hatred is powerless in the face of love, power, and armor. Hatred is powerless in the face of love, power, and armor. Let someone say, love is the greatest. I will talk about just two issues. I will leave you here, but tell your neighbor, ask love. Let us act love. Let us do love. Do love. I can't hear you. Act love. Do love. We are sons of love. We are love's product. Tell your neighbor. I can't hear you. Love brought us into war, into being. Love brought us into being. We are love's products, the sons and daughters of love. Tell your neighbor, let us do love.
Let us do love.
Let us act love. We are love's product, the sons and daughter of love. Love brought us into being. That is love. We continue there to next meeting. The challenge before us, when I say challenge before us, I told you yesterday I have many revelations which I want to reveal to you, but I will look at the atmosphere before talk. Whether you will be able to hold it, you take it, you look, I mean, well, thank God you know who is talking here. You have seen my antecedent, my track record. You have no reason to doubt. You know where I'm coming from. You know what I have said in the past. Okay, you know what I'm going to say too. Yes, the challenge before us, if you want to be a Christian, be a Christian. Tell your neighbor, if you want to be a Christian,
be a Christian.
I can't hear you. I can't hear you. The reason why I'm saying it is that the challenges before us, no one can be overcoming without the Spirit of God. And who is a Christian? That is the question we need to ask ourselves. Who is a Christian? A Christian is someone who is lifting the load with God. A Christian is someone who is lifting the load with God. Look at it. I'm a Christian. If I carry it here, God is carrying it here. And you with God, majority. It's like the whole world is carrying the load. A Christian is someone who is lifting the load with God. Who is a Christian? A Christian is someone who is walking with the Lord. Who is a Christian? A Christian is someone who is facing persecution and trials with the Lord. Are you there? If you want to be a Christian, be a Christian. And stop deceiving yourself. Because the challenge before us will consume you. I define again, who is a Christian? A Christian is someone who is in unison with God. You know what it means? If God is journeying you, carry something. Is lifting the load When you are facing persecution, if God is facing persecution with you, when God is with you, even though you walk through the valley of shadow, because the Lord is with you. Tell your neighbor, if you want to be a Christian, be a Christian. No one can be a Christian without the Spirit of God. No one can be what? Are you with me? Open with me the book of 1 Corinthians. Are you there? Okay, let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. Start your reading from verse 3. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you are worshiping God without depending upon the Spirit of God, you are serving a God you do not know. If you worship God without Spirit of God, you hear yourself, you only hear yourself, and people around you will hear you. God will not hear you. In your act of worship. Hallelujah. Without the Spirit of God, you only hear yourself. People around you will hear you. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You only hear yourself. People around you will hear you. You dance during the worship, you only see yourself, people around you will see you. You fast and pray in your act of worship. If you do this without the Spirit of God, you only hear yourself, people around you will hear you, God will not hear you. God's opinion and God's idea about your act of worship, praying, fasting, dancing, worship, just name them, will be meaningless and idle. Oftentimes, destructive. Oftentimes destructive, because if God cannot hear you, Satan will hear you. If God cannot hear you, Satan what? Will hear you. Oftentimes destructive. I take it again. Let's take that book again. I want to leave you here. That book of 1 Corinthians. Let's look at it again, what the Bible says. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. Therefore I made known to you that no one speaking, wow, is abomination there. No one speaking about Jesus in Nazareth with that word. Listen to what I say here. He said, look, oh, no one speak about Jesus of Nazareth without the word. Without the Spirit of God. But today you speak about Jesus of Nazareth without the Spirit of God. Is that not abomination? Today you speak about Jesus without the Holy Spirit, without the Spirit of God. Today you dance. Today you pray. Today you fast. You speak about Jesus without the Holy Ghost. Let us read once again. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. What are we talking about here? Ignorantly, you believe and you thought you are serving God. But the Lord does not hear you. Because it's like a switch. If I switch off, look at camera, please pick it up. Pick it up, pick it up. What happened? It's off. It's off. It's off. Huh? If I want to use it, assume it's God. Let's assume this is God. It's off. If I want to use it, through what? Eh? That is the Spirit of God. That is the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God, without the switch it off, is dead. Eh? No life. In the same vein, God. Without the Spirit of God, you are serving a dead God. If you worship God without God's Spirit, in your act of worshiping, praying, fasting, watch praises, dancing, you will only hear yourself and people around you will hear you. God will not hear you. God will not hear you. Once again, if you worship God without God's Spirit, in your act of worship, prayer, praises, fasting, dancing, tithing, you pay with tithes to the church. Which tithe? You build the synagogue church, a cathedral like this, only you. Without God's Spirit, people inside the church and the whole world will know you are the one who built the synagogue church. And you yourself will know you are the one who built the church. But God will not know you are building church for him. God's opinion, God's idea about your act of worship will be meaningless, idle. Oftentimes destructive, because if God cannot hear you, Satan will hear you. This is why today you pray for healing and attack comes. This is why today you fast and fast for 3 days, fast for 10 days, fast for day, 5 days, 5 days. Because God cannot hear you, Satan will strike you. The battle before us, the challenges before us, without God's Spirit, we will be defeated. Tell your neighbor. The challenges before us, the battle ahead. You know, we are in a perilous time, a dangerous time. What is happening in Nigeria is happening in a different way in all every country. In a different form, it happened in your country. The battle before you, without God's Spirit, we will be defeated and crushed and grounded without God's Spirit. I have given you once again a sample of God's Spirit. Switch is always on the plug. God is always on action because he's creator of everyone. Look at it. This is plugged. It's plugged already. To tell you that it's always on action. Yes, it's ready to work because it's concerning about you. But Spirit connection. If it is off here and you are now want to make use of this, you can't use it again. It's off. It's off. And you begin to say, feeling cold. People will see you having this in your house. You have it in your house, but why are you still using what? Fan. Because you have not put it on. To put it on is to depend on God's Spirit. This is God's Spirit. But it's always connected. Why? When you disown him, that cannot overthrow him from his throne. When you accept him, that cannot remove him from his throne. If you choose not to accept him and deny him, stand against him, that cannot deploy him from his throne. It's God, and God, the plug is always on him. So the question, if you want to be a Christian, no one can be a Christian without what? Without God's Spirit. A Christian is the one who is lifting the load with God. A Christian is the one who is walking with the Lord. A Christian is the one who is facing persecution and trial with the Lord. A Christian is the one who is in unison with the Lord. I want to leave you here. Thank you. Next meeting we talk about God's Spirit. Am I worship? Am I depend on God's Spirit to worship? What is God's Spirit? Acting on the Word brings about God's Spirit. Tell your neighbor. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
J'ai reçu la parole. Amen. Jésus.
I can't hear you. Because the Bible says God's power working through His Word and His Spirit to bring about salvation. Acting on the Word brings about God's Spirit. But how do we act on the Word? I was telling you last meeting that the Word builds Christ's nature. The Word builds Christ's nature. Word build what? Christ's nature. That was our last message, that God is building Himself into us, making Himself a part of us. God is building Himself into us, making Himself a part of us. Viewers, thank you. Thank you. We continue. God's Spirit is the area we want to talk about. You can't pick. Look, let me tell you about this. Picking a textbook and read about God's Spirit. You can read about God, but about God's Spirit, it takes someone who is swimming, who is endowed in that spirit, to talk about it. Because it is a sacred place. No matter, even if you're a professor of theology, you dare not go into that God's Spirit. Because, I mean, you are going into the city room, the bedroom of God Himself. That is where God lives. You can enter the city room, you can enter the parlor, but when you come to bedroom, so you can't study this. It takes someone who is wine and dine to begin to tell you, this is why the world today, you see the world serving God, worship God without God's Spirit. Without God's Spirit. So let's listen to just one or two testimonies and move forward. Thank you. Hallelujah. Don't forget, I've given you one of the how to enter the God's Spirit and begin to, operate in God's Spirit. One, acting on the Word. How do we act on the Word? Is it by reading just our Bible? You have been reading and you have the knowledge. But you must read with devotion. As if your life depends on knowing it. As if your what? You know the way you count your money. If you want to count money, you know you can't make mistake. Oh no, you are laughing. You don't make mistake when you are counting money. You have to. You can't make mistake. Or when you are asked to sign a check worth of a billion of naira or dollar, you will never. You ask them, take time, let me take my time to sign it. I think your best friend is money. So, can you see, we talk about how do we read, and that, how do we read this way? Some read and commit it here, commit it to memory, while others read and commit it in their hearts. Which one belong? There are two. One group read and commit it to memory. Other group read and commit into their hearts. How do we read? To read and commit into memory is simple. Every one of us has passed through that. Going to school, your academic. If you don't commit your academic into memory, you keep coming out first class, first degree, and you put everything here, it will affect your second degree because you have to delete it and get another one here. If not, there will be no space. Huh? You must delete the one here. That is why sometimes a degree holder, if you give them a secondary school examination, a degree holder who has a first class, if you give him a secondary school examination, he may likely fail it because he has deleted the whole thing there out of the bill. But the word of God cannot be deleted. So anything that is here, it become an integral part of you. Tell your neighbor, anything that is here, it become part of your blood, part of the flute, monk shoe, flute, and your blood. Anything here. Once something is here, it cannot be deleted. It can only be deleted when sin comes. But here, for selfish and for classic reason, we'll talk about that next meeting, and we are going to put the two together. The one group read and commit to memory, while other read and commit here. So the one that commit here, once something is here, is here. But when something is here, it cannot be here. But something that is here, it occupy your it's become an integral part of you. Part of you. It cannot be separated. So let's listen to the testimony. Thank you.
Voilà, chers amis, c'est-à-dire, nous allons maintenant passer à la session des témoignages. Nous avons entendu de l'homme de Dieu.